is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hello. How's it going?
It's going. I say what's up, like, as if we haven't talked for an hour before we start.
Yeah. Recording. Oh, man. Long time no see.
Goodness. It's good to be back. If you're listening to this show, then you probably know that this is a podcast where we review comic book trades, and sometimes people call them trade reviews. And if you did know that, now you do. So welcome. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time.
Yeah. Here you are.
On this week's episode of the podcast, we are reviewing a book called Vanished. Vanish. No ED. Just Vanish.
Vanish. Not Van, but Vanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of Van. And I'm really excited to talk about Simon. I'm really excited to talk about this one with Simon because I have my thoughts.
Yeah, man.
So I'll kick things off just to get straight to the point. Vanish issue number one, written by Donny Cates. I love Donny Cates. We've read a few of his books. He was on Venom, the most recent Venom run that I've read. So good. Art by Ryan Stegman. Also like Ryan Stegman. And the cover was by Ryan Stegman. As I mentioned, Donny Cates did God Country. I think we reviewed that. He also is currently writing Thor. That's about to end. Just wrote Hulk. That one just ended. That one's not so good. Mm-hmm. Most of his stuff is pretty good.
But most of it ends, right?
Yeah, most of it does end. Ryan Stegman also was on Venom with Donny Cates, and he did the King of Black event. There's also a creative team behind this book. J.P. Meyer, who did Absolute Carnage, Fantastic Four, Sonia Obak, who worked on Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, and Han Solo, and John J. Hill, who works on Crossover and Harley Quinn. So it's a creative team behind an imprint that Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman created called KLC Press, which stands for Kids Love Chains, which in recent times we've talked about that. It was a famous, I wouldn't say famous. I would say if you're a nerd, you probably heard him say this, but it's a Todd McFarlane line. And Donny Cates is a huge Todd McFarlane fan, as you probably can tell from this love letter to Todd McFarlane that we read today.
Certainly. Yeah, certainly. It's kind of funny, even, I mean, before we get into it too far, it's kind of funny, even the artwork is like, this is what Capullo in Spawn, like 100%. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like a slightly modern version of that era.
Yeah, I want you can copy my homework, but just make it a little different.
Yeah, it's pushing the boundaries of an homage. So with this all-star creative team, they brought you Venom. They are bringing you an all-new take on the classic Hero's Quest. Oliver Harrison was a mythical hero who slayed the greatest threat to his realm before even hitting puberty. But that was then. As an adult, Oliver leads an average cookie-cutter suburban life, aside from the fact that he's mentally unstable, massively paranoid, smokes like a chimney, and gets blackout drunk every night to hide from his horrific nightmares. So I would say, pretty average life. ask me, a normal person. Will the arrival of a superhero team called the Prestige prove the madness isn't all in Oliver's head? And what about, I'm sorry, man, I'm struggling today. And what about all the epic fantasy crap from his childhood? Join us for a brutal as hell tale of magical worlds, gifted youth, evil sorcerers, superheroes, war, blood, guts, and death that punches you right in the face.
Yeah.
That was a lot. I didn't drink enough Mountain Dew to read that.
Mountain Dew! You gotta sound out the words.
Goodness. Words. It was just a lot. You know, I can't read. So, let's dig in, Simon. Vanish, I always want to know what you think when I send it your way. You judging a book, let's call this segment Judging a Book by Its Cover. What'd you think?
Well, by cover alone. It's like, oof, yeah, no, I'm not gonna like this one. Just because I've been throwing around the word. It is so passe, and it's not even really, yeah, it's a very, I feel like, millennial word, but edgelord, man, just like the it's just edgelord written all over this.
Yeah.
I do like the font though for Vanish. That was clever.
They're really putting the work on that one.
Yeah, they put all the work in. I mean, you can tell there's some talent there, but it did just, yeah, invoke that Greg Capullo Spawn stuff.
Yeah, even the mask is like stitched faced Spawn from back in the day. Like, I get that it's not, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
definitely, like, definitely edgelord.
Yeah, totally. Ugh. Anyway.
Let's dive in. Let's talk about some good things that you liked, or just thoughts. What are you thinking about this after this first issue? It's hard to, I think, I don't know if it broke it up in a decent way. I can't remember if it broke it up during the trade, like in issue form.
Yeah, I did. My first thoughts were, what is Lex smoking? That's my question. It's like, when you see something like this, I'm always curious, because I never really ask. I just, you know, do what I'm told. Sit in the seat here by this time. But what was it, Donnie Cates, that made you want to read this? What brought this to your attention to want to review it today?
So last year, maybe the end of 2021, during the COVID era, back end of the COVID era, a lot of the most popular comic creators out there were not leaving the big companies, right? But they were not trying to sign these exclusive deals. So they didn't want to be like working for Marvel exclusively. A lot of them went off and opened up a Substack. I don't know if you remember this buzz about Substack being a thing, but all of these creators started their own newsletter to monetize from that newsletter. Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman were leaving the big industry, even though they still work in it. It's like exclusively, they're leaving the exclusivity of it to start KLC. I mean, you had James Tynan doing it. There was a ton of creators. Like, the biggest names out there right now were all going to try to start their own individual things just to be able to print out the books that they wanted to, right? And the promise was that you had to sign up for this newsletter, exclusive newsletter, and it was like paid. You had to be a part of it. And they were like, well, if you're a part of this, you know, group that we are creating, then you get these exclusive comics that we're making just for this group, right? It's just going to be, we're going to do Vanish. We're doing all these things. We're creating this big world. It was like a lot of hype. Donnie Cates is a really good salesman when it comes to stuff like that. And so I was interested, but I was also not going to pay $100 a year for like four issues of a comic book.
Yeah. Wow.
And then like behind the scenes stuff, like it's not that I don't care about that. I just think that's, I don't know how I feel about charging for stuff like that. You know, it's just a weird thing. And so I'd always wondered if it was good. I had friends that read it, and some people really like Spawn. You know, I don't. I like Spawn as a character, but everything else about it is terrible. And so,
yeah, Spawn is cool on paper, but not like comic book paper.
Yeah.
The ideas and the thoughts and the outline are very cool.
Looks cool. Badass. Yeah. The movie version was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cooler than the book. But it was one of, it was just one of those things. It's like, I do like Donny Cates. I do like Ryan Stegman. And I had this, I wanted to know if it was good or not. And I recommended a book to you before this. It was like 500, 600 pages. And I was like, well, we're not going to do that in one afternoon. So this one's only four issues. Let's read that. So that was a big factor.
Yeah. The first book that like suggested was like a novel. Yeah.
If you have read it, you know that it wouldn't have been a bad read, but it was also like, what are you going to do? Read 250 pages to yesterday. Yeah. 250. So we didn't have enough prep time for that one. That's like, let's do that in 2 months or something.
We'll start reading now.
I'm not really, I don't know. That's really what it was, is that I do like Donny Cates, and I know that he is a person that has dealt with addiction and things like that. You can tell it's in all of his stories. That's like an ongoing theme. And so usually, man, sometimes like God Country, oh my gosh, continues to be top tier story. And so I think I'm just chasing that Donny Cates story. And even though it didn't look like this was going to be it, I wanted to give it a try.
You were chasing the high.
Yeah. And part of me was like, I kind of knew by judging this book by its cover that you and I may not have been like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And so I think we need to sprinkle some of those episodes in where we didn't completely totally. Love it. You know what I mean? So long answer or short answer. I don't know.
I do appreciate it. Cause I was just curious, and it's not, I mean, once you get into it, I think the premise is really pretty interesting, pretty cool.
I'm not even saying I don't like it. I just, I do not typically like things like this.
Right. I think there's some things to like in this first issue. I definitely like how, you know, we always say it's nice to be dropped in to a story, and it's kind of cool how it turns on its heel very quickly, because you think it's going to be kind of a straightforward, maybe straightforward superhero thing. You don't really know. There's like this Robin knockoff.
It gets so random though. Like,
yeah.
M. Night random.
It is. It's like they had genres written on die and they just threw them and to see where they landed and like, how can we mix these up?
If I had to describe this to an audience member that hasn't read it, I would say it is, and you probably from the little that we've talked about it so far can't get this, but it's like Harry Potter meets Spawn meets, even though Spawn and Punisher can, you know, kind of be in the same vein, it's a mix of that.
Yeah. But a Harry Potter, if like it was a little, and I don't mean darker because people are like, well, the last ones. No, I don't.
Actually,
I mean like edgelordy. So instead of Dumbledore just being a wizard, and that there's like this school that he's like the headmaster at, it's like Dumbledore is actually raising an army, and the school is like a military school for wizards. You know,
he's not secretly doing it like Dumbledore.
Yeah, right.
he's straight up doing it. There is things I agree. I like new superheroes. You know, I just do. We've read so much of the superheroes that we're used to. And so anytime we get something new, I'm like, oh, that's cool. This character that we get introduced to, his name is
Battle Rocket.
Silly. Doesn't even look great, but I just appreciate having a new superhero. I was confused.
I have always liked the big gauntlet look, though.
Originally thought, like, the way the narration was going and the way they were interacting at first, I thought that this antagonist or this protagonist was the future version of Battle Rocket. And he was like, I know who you are because I'm you. And I was like, okay, I can see where this is going. And then, nope, we go into this futuristic magic heaven that this guy grew up in, which was just a complete, it took me a second to just get into that world.
I do like that, though, because I feel like it was intentional. You know, it's not, in my mind, it was either same. It was either this is the future part, this is this future version, or the person, you know, it kind of plays out like you are hearing Battle Rocket's thoughts and that the homeless dude is just a homeless dude.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a weird way how those get entangled. But then, you know, we get introduced into this little world and then everything moves real fast. I like the design of the bad guy here. He's pretty cool with the spider legs.
I will say that one plus about this book is that I feel like a lot of these character designs are relatively original besides Harry Spawner. They definitely toned it up on the, like, gore porn, man. It's just like, I get it. It's cool.
Yeah, there are definitely parts.
But when the Baron Vanish explodes Dumbledore, it's a lot.
Yeah, yes.
Almost cartoony. Yeah. It's like that guy doesn't have that much blood in his body.
Well, yeah, and his guts just like all over his face and all over the room. The panel layout, like, I mean, the actual layout of the illustration with like the glasses in the foreground. I mean, I'm talking on the next page, but yeah. Glasses in the foreground and like the way that leads into the bad guy in the center. That's just really well done, but it is a lot.
It's a lot, man. And again, I'm not saying I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Let's talk about the twist, because I liked the twist, man. I was
Chef's kiss on the twist.
I don't want to sound like this is not me saying this as a con. It was stupid. And like, and one, I wish I would have wrote that. That's so stupid that it's great. You know what I mean? And you don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's the same thing with, like, when you think about Harry Potter, you're like, oh, I bet all this could be solved with a rocket launcher, you know?
Yeah. So, spoilers. Obviously, there's spoilers because we're reviewing the damn book. But Oliver is narrating his past, and he talks about how he's going to get in trouble because he's breaking these two sacred rules. He's breaking into their war room, essentially, where they have the most dangerous magical artifacts. And two, he's going to the real world. So I've thought that he broke into that place and got a device, and he was going to trap Vanish and himself into the real world.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too.
That's what I thought, because he was already in the real world, and I was like, okay, I can see where this is going. It's kind of cool. But no, that is not what happens. He pulls out a gun. a straight up gun, and shoots the bad guy in the head. Game over. Yeah. Saves the day.
Yeah. Super clever.
Very 90s catchphrase while he does it.
Fuck magic. Yeah. That's all I could think about was like, fuck Batman.
I'll tell you what. I did love everything about that, man. Because it's almost comedic.
It makes perfect sense, too.
Yeah. I mean, really? I know it's meant to be edgy, but I love it in more of a humor. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know the emotion they're wanting to invoke is like, oh, hell yeah, that's badass of me. I'm like, no, that's really dumb, and I love everything about it. Plus, it's a half page onomatopoeia, which, you know me, I'm a sucker.
Love those. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the kids are just cheering him on. He's a hero. Then we're back to, I would assume to say, the 90s grunge alleyway fight.
Yeah. And you can tell here, just as a child, that he has some kind of addictive personality, because he's concerned about, there were all these acolytes with this main bad guy. He shoots the bad guy in the head and they just run away. And so he's like, no, what? No, they don't get to just go.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Obviously, he's obsessive about that. He's obsessed. So,
yeah. They don't really, I mean, I guess you don't have to explain the powers. It's magic. You could just say it's all magic.
Yeah, what, I guess
he's creating like Green Lantern constructs.
Yeah, I guess they just, yeah, like you said, it is just magic, you know. But he's drunk several times while he's fighting, and this is the first time you get that feeling. But this little kid is talking mad shit. He's kind of an ass. Real, I don't know, real gross. The gore gets too much here when he's like busting this dude's face up. And
yeah,
I mean, I say it's not gore, it's just blood, but it's stupid looking.
That's a lot.
His famous tagline, burn you little bitch. That's a lot. Very extreme.
Yeah. It's edgelord. And so it's the hero's journey, like the synopsis mentioned. He now he realizes that those acolytes are back, posing as superheroes in the real world. And he's been drinking and doing drugs to sort of like numb himself from, you know, all the stuff that happened when he was a kid. But now he's got his mission again. He's going to hunt these guys down one by one. And just like a video game, you get a power up with every bad guy you kill. Right. And so that's his thing. He's going to go and start hunting them down. And it looks like he kills this dude. I thought he killed him, but he doesn't die yet.
Yeah.
He just stomps his face in.
Yeah, he really does stomp up his face. But it's kind of interesting because it's like you think it's this little kid, right? And then all of a sudden, the figment or whatever magic is making this guy.
Yeah, they have like a glamour. Yeah.
He is an old guy. He's an old guy, and I'm like glamored as a kid. That's weird.
And this issue ends with our hero. It's like the hero moment. He goes downstairs, opens up his secret prince collection door, and gets his cape, puts it on. Lime.
The downstairs thing was whatever. And you don't really see it, but I think this is when he steals his wife's sigil, says.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either. It's like pills. Did you see that? I didn't even realize what it was at first. It all just looked pills. Yeah, and he's got his little hidden closet.
With his prince coat.
With his prince coat. He laces up the collar to make the mask of it. Which reminded me of, what was that game? Not Eternal Darkness. It was a spinoff of the vampire game. And it had this blue guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Soul Reaver. Yeah, Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver, looks like, yeah. Silver.
What always kills me about these homemade costumes is that he is still, he's like Casey Jones with a tattered cape thing, like a prince jacket, like you said. Yeah. So he's still wearing like jeans with high lace boots and a torn up shirt, but with the jacket, which is just silly.
It is just silly.
Go all out. I guess he grew out of his wizard.
Especially, yeah, he can't put it on because it doesn't fit. Especially if you could change your appearance, just make yourself look cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or transform your jacket to a jacket that fits. You're magic, man.
Yeah.
That's issue number one, man. Take it away. I can't wait to talk about issue number two with you.
Yes. Meet Deacon Dust, master illusionist and Oliver Harrison's close childhood friend. Why is this arrogant charmer coming into focus? And what does that superhero team, the Prestige, have to do with it all? Oliver's past continues to come back and haunt him as the latest chapter of Vanish unfolds. Yeah, so this one starts off hot.
Why? Why?
When he said 2001, I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, same.
I ain't about to bring this in here. Of all the things that you could do.
Especially when it shows the World Trade Center in the back, I'm like, oh, man. Again, like you said, surely not.
Yeah, no way. I was a little confused. So basically
I was confused too.
So basically the bad guy wizard teacher, professor, whatever, is taking the kids on a field trip to the real world in 2001. They think just to hang out. He pr- probably has ulterior motives, and they're in New York, and we've already mentioned the Twin Towers, because you can imagine what happened.
Never forget what happens.
Yeah, never. Always remember. Never forget. 7-Eleven. Anyway, there's the plane going into the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh.
I made a joke. Obviously, it's traumatic. You know, we were there
for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But he zaps it. The professor zaps it and turns, I don't know, cherry blossoms or something. And he says, this is a fairy tale. There's a happy ending. But then he says, when it struck the second tower and burned and fell. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, so
what happened? I don't understand.
Yeah, I was the same. I thought maybe that he was just saying this is a fairy tale and they didn't want to show the plane crash. Maybe that's what it was,
I guess. Or maybe it was an illusion on his part to.
Yeah.
Maybe the plane actually did hit and the professor was like trying not to show it. I don't know. That it's so funny that he's like standing on a rooftop smoking a cigarette and he jumps off just to put on a jacket and coat to go talk to his chum. Is leaping from roof to roof that efficient of a way to travel?
Yeah, right. I guess if you can, but like I can't do that.
Well, I wonder, because things don't get closer the higher you are. Which I think Spider-Man did a really good job in Spider-Man 2 when he's trying to get his powers back.
And he crashes?
When he's like, he's on the ground first and he puts like a tire or something. He's trying to measure the width of the building. I think that was Spider-Man. Or some superhero something. He's trying to measure the width of the building and he tries to jump regularly and he's off by like 6 feet. Because an alleyway between buildings is big enough to fit a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think it's that efficient, you know,
unless you can jump 13 feet.
Yeah. That's a rant. I've always just thought that I'm like, that can't, I never understood Batman either. Again, I'm going on a sidebar rant, but I never understood Batman with like the grappling hook thing.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make a lot of sense.
What do you think about his best friend, Chris Angel?
Oh, the snake bites. Yeah, he's got the, I don't know, man. He was almost almost useless. He looks a lot like, oh gosh, what's that guy? He's on a tattoo show. He was on. Dave Navarro. Looks like Dave Navarro for sure.
I thought he looked like the bad guy from the Hercules Kevin Sorbo show.
Oh shit. Yeah. He's something.
Oh man.
But I really, to be completely honest, I don't think he plays like a big part here. He doesn't seem that important to his past. He doesn't seem that important to his present. So he's just kind of a thing to basically blow up when the bad guys are looking for.
Small emotional payoff later.
Yeah, slightly. So I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
What'd you think about this issue, man? We get to see more of his wife, which was one of his childhood friends, as he mentioned, is the Hermione to that guy was Ron Weasley, Chris Angel. I don't know who's all married in Harry Potter.
Ron Weasley is married to Hermione.
There it is. Our main character is Edgelord Ron Weasley.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense, man, because he's like afraid to talk to his wife because she's a strong black woman.
Yeah, obviously. Well, it makes it seem like he's going to go and tell her, like he goes to get help from her because like his friend says, and then he just starts lying, which I guess is like an addict thing.
Yeah, I wish he would have just said something. I didn't really dig that.
One thing I am talking about in superhero comic books is like, and this is probably because of the boys, but I'm real tired of like the evil Superman trope, like the Homelander. I feel like if you do a Homelander so well, then everything else just kind of feels like this character kind of just feels like that. And that could just be me. It's not like a thing that everybody could even agree with. But for me, that just felt like a scene from The Boys almost.
Yeah, I can agree. That dude's face is really stupid looking too.
The old man at the end?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, ooh, he's got ketchup on his face.
And he's got it carved into his head, hollow.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care for this one. I guess it does a lot to set up.
Extreme. But. Yeah, this issue is all set up. We get to see supporting character. We get introduced to supporting characters. Sets up the villains.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're not really villains anymore. They seem like they're relatively redeemed.
Yeah, I mean they are. I guess you could say the same about like the boys and Homelander. They seem like they're legit, but they, you know, aren't. I guess I don't know.
And I did like in this book, it wasn't in this issue, but I did like in this book how, or yeah, maybe it was in this issue. He's arguing with his friend on the rooftop and he says, there's always been superheroes in the real world. And they've always been people that have been exiled from magic, that magic land that they're from, or they came here after the war. So yeah. To establish that they've have superheroes in the real world.
Yeah, that was neat.
More than just the prestige.
That was a neat segue or whatever.
All right, let's do this. Vanish, issue number 3. Oliver takes on former Baron Vanish acolytes, Wormhole and Silkworm. Mm. And no one will go home unchanged. Unchanged? And no one will go home unchanged.
You started reading Wormhole and you started thinking of chains.
If they even survived the confrontation, if they even survived the confrontation, members of the Prestige continue to move their pieces around the board. But what's their end game? Yeah, this starts out with just straight ketchup splatter the entire page.
It's so thick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ketchup. I do think it's kind of neat how it starts, but the problem that I'm having with this book so far is I've seen it all before. As far as not the setting. The setting is pretty neat, and I think the mashup is neat. But it's like a guy wakes up getting his shit rocked. He doesn't even know how he got, you know, that thing.
He's like Hancock.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just like foot penis.
But it's like the drunken, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
I don't really dig that. It is interesting how he dispatches her, but not that interesting because she's supposed to be super fast. And I kind of thought it would have been funny for him to flub again.
Yeah. Yeah, he essentially just kicks the wind out of her.
Yeah, the silkworm thing. Now, that's freaky to me. That's really...
Yeah, that dude's a superhero.
Very, very freaky.
If you're running around barefoot, you're not a superhero, man. You're a creep.
He's wearing like skin.
Yeah.
Like a skin worm, suit.
It's just a bunch of worm skin. His okay, so Wormhole is a super speedster, right? For the audience. And Silkworm is her twin brother who has the ability to create razor sharp threads with his mind. He doesn't even have to put them out of his body, which is insane. Overpowered, if you ask me.
Well, nobody did. No, he is, but it's one of those things that give him these pretty A-tier powers like that, but doesn't really help him out.
No.
I guess the magic guy.
They try to reason with him also. They're like, hey, man, which to me, it almost seems like maybe they are telling the truth. They're like, back in the day, we were part of a cult. We drank the Kool-Aid, man. And now we're here essentially trying to atone for that. And you're here pissed off. We're sorry, but we could also like work together.
So this, when he gets to the part where he's like killing them and he says, I need more. I was like, oh, I see where
he's
this
the
is
bad
going.
Guy.
Yeah, I see where this is going. It's not just an attic thing. So one thing we skipped over is he touches this orb, this arcane artifact, which is he breaks rule one of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He touches this thing. It tells him his future. He sees the guy he's about to kill in the future.
Yeah.
And so making that connection, I'm like, oh, he's spoiler alert, I guess. Yeah. We don't know by the end of this, but the book is called
Vanish.
Yeah, I'm like, he's going to suck off all their powers and he's going to become that guy.
He's going to suck off all the power.
He's going to suck off all these dudes.
One thing that I think, this is totally off topic. I didn't mind the like eye energy trail at first, but with this silkworm dude, I'm like, why even show that? Now they just look like giant antenna.
I thought that was a cool effect, but I do see what you mean.
Yeah, I usually don't. I didn't mind it until these two panels where they show it. They look more tangible than anyone else's. Actually, mm-hmm. Look like energy. His look like actual just giant antenna.
Well, that and yeah, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like to me, that's motion.
Yeah.
And it seems like he went from here to here down in front of that guy's face. Yeah. No. So there, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So crazy move to cut your own hand off.
God, like drunk guy thing to do that. Oh yeah, like
I'm a lefty, like
magic drunk guy. But man, yeah, more blood, more lasagna scenes.
We do see a little bit of their like one of this guy. He's kind of like a demon. He's got like a horn, so it's kind of cool to see that.
They use so the magic that they have is relatively overpowered. Like even Oliver's powers could be super powerful. They make him an alcoholic, and they make him an addict, sort of as a crutch, as a weakness, as kryptonite, right? Not saying it that, but like at the beginning, he tries to create a sword, a magic sword, but he can't because he can't concentrate. But it seems like he's got his concentration now after cutting his hand off because he creates a energy sword. And
well, he sucked off that girl.
Oh, yeah. Stole her powers from her knee.
Yeah, so every time he does that, it kind of sobers him up.
Yeah, he messes these fools up.
Mm-hmm. The only problem I had is, like, now we're thrown in the kitchen sink. He gets the powers of that girl. He gets the powers of the wormies. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's in the sewers. Because another hero pulled him down right below. And it makes sense that they would fight as a team. It's a big sewer right below the, I don't know, look like a cemetery or something.
Comic book sewer.
But I don't know. I do like the design of this big guy.
I was going to ask you, what'd you think about Battery? Cool name? Cool design? Yeah.
Dumb name, cool design.
Like a Salt and Battery?
I mean, I get it.
And has not the most energy, has the most dark magic, double entendre, man.
Clever.
Yeah, it is sort of like you're watching an animated movie or a cartoon, right? Like he fights those two topside and immediately goes into another fight right below.
The ending panel or whatever. Do you think this guy ever touches the ground? Do you think he ever walks?
I would never. Like, not even a little bit. I would always stay, like, at least 1 inch off the ground at all times.
Oh, dude.
Like, I would even walk.
To pretend. Like,
I would still walk across the floor. But I would be one, like, I would never touch the ground again. It'd be cool.
I mean, I do see where you're coming from, because I feel like you would have to be that kind of a dick. Not you, personally, but like if you could fly, you're like, well, I guess I'm just going to.
And in my head, it's, you know, I would love to think that I have an abundant mindset and things like that. But I'm like, any day now, it's going to go away. And so.
Oh, yeah. Use it.
I just need to maximize the usage.
I definitely see that. I do understand 100%.
Oh, man. But yeah, we get Homelander, but that's not his name. I can't remember what his name is.
I don't know. It's Red Dot.
Yeah, Belly Button.
Halcyon says it right there.
Oh, I turned the page. Yeah, Halcyon. Stupid name. He also has the eye beam antenna. They all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like it's... At first, it looked like their eyes were glowing and those were motion lines. Yeah. Now it's like smoke.
And it stops at the same level, at the same height, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing to fixate on, but I get it.
All right, Simon. steer the ship home, man.
Is this it? Number four?
Number four.
Damn, that was fast. Vanish number four, end of a story arc. Oliver goes to war with Battery, while Deacon and Halcyon clash. Their prestige, ooh, magic, is attacking from all sides as their master plan begins to take shape. A few jaw-dropping revelations pop up along the way. Blah, 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 blah.
This is a cluster of an issue because that's just a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah.
There, again, I hate to say M. Night, but it feels like an M. Night story, man. Like, at one point where he's in the psychiatric ward, and it does a really good job, and now you're like, damn, was this whole thing bullshit? That is, it's, oh, wait, that was, is that in this one?
Not in this one.
Oops. I read ahead because I had to know. My bad. Spoilers.
Spoilers for the next volume.
The M. Night twist is in the next issue. This one. Remind me what happened while as I thumb through it.
So this one, he's fighting Battery. The synopsis I said. He's fighting Battery. He kind of get really close to dying. Again, Battery is like, listen, I get why you're mad. You have the right to be. But the war is over. You know, makes perfect sense. But whatever he does, like, whatever Oliver does, cuts through the head of this thing and causes the glamour to go away. And it's like this little blonde woman.
Yeah, who was the ex-lover of Vanish.
Yeah. What? And then he finds out that, well, there's kind of a split here. So he finds out that she was like a half demon, which he's surprised that this guy would consort with demons. And the demons, this is where we kind of get the revelation that, like, hey, you're dark too. She said, yeah, you took some of my powers, but I read some of yours. And, you know, we're trying to stop. We don't want this guy back. But if you're on this path, like, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
In the middle of that, Halcyon is fighting Dustin. And we find out that Halcyon was some, like, fucked up Conan the Barbarian wizard or something.
Yeah, the person that actually burned the villages, I think.
He's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, before. Now he just looks like the super belly button man.
Yeah, super belly button Gambit. They love it. This artist loves that, like, which I don't hate it, but like the hair out of the mask. He did it with the Rocket Baby too at the beginning.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
Rocket Baby.
This, you know, Dustin, poor guy, held his own for a little while.
Yeah.
Really for no reason. But.
Yeah, he's fighting Superman.
Yeah, and he does okay, but then he just gets exploded. And I hate this panel. I don't need to see whole brains and a tongue and eyeballs, you know, flying.
Yeah, that one's a lot. I mean, right before this, she gets exploded.
Yeah.
The battery, her head gets exploded. And then two pages later, after another F magic.
Yeah, I do like that callback, though. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. He gets exploded in a really, really gross way.
And all that's left is like his arms and legs. I don't know. It's too much. But it is so silly. I guess it plays for... to be completely honest, I'm kind of tired of reading and watching all this media. I know this is older. We're just like... It's... Like Game of Thrones started this trend, I feel like. Of course, there was a lot of anime that was doing it. But it's just like shit fest. Things just go bad. Like this guy does everything in his power. He doesn't talk. He doesn't tell Halcyon where Oliver's wife is. You know, he keeps his mouth shut. And then his phone is nearby. So he blows up and he dies for no reason because this guy's going to go find her anyway.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, I knew it was going to happen, but I don't know. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just, I get tired of the downer stuff.
Yeah, we need to read something nice.
Some flowers or kittens.
Yeah, and so as Simon alluded to, Prestige, they're all over the place. They got some people working on Oliver, get Halcyon trying to figure out where Oliver's wife is, and then they send Kid Rocket to pick her up. And so that's where we end.
I was not expecting the cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think that's where I read the next issues, because I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's a big cliffhanger. So
that's it. That's Vanish, guys. I'm out. Mm-hmm. That was a magic smoke sound. Let's talk about it, Simon. What did you like about this book? Briefly, like, I know we talked about it a lot, but overall, I mean, were there any redeeming qualities in this thing for you? Or overall, like, just terrible?
The story starts to get more intriguing to me towards the end, and I am, you know, I do want to know what happens after the cliffhanger. I feel like it's a good use of that.
So, yeah, I agree. And I usually hate cliffhangers, but this was a very well-placed one.
And I also think that the mashup, as I said, was cool. So I'm into that. But, you know, issue number one, issue number two, issue number one's kind of interesting because it sets everything up. Issue number two, especially, though, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know if I want to read the rest of that. Getting a little bored.
I was like that the whole time. But at the same time, I was also sort of intrigued because, like you said, it felt refreshing, even though it at the same time felt like a serious love letter to Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, there's just, I don't know. It felt like Greg Capullo illustrated it. I did not see any originality in this artist stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if I saw something else, but this spoke so much to that it was in the that era of Spawn that was like hard to even look at. Not because it was bad, it was just like so loose that it was hard to understand what the images were.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm definitely curious, and I'll probably look at the next couple of issues at least to get some kind of answers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, it's an interesting feeling that I have about this book because people love the 90s. I love the 90s, as we talked about earlier, more as from a humor standpoint. I'm like, how ridiculous some of the stuff is and how silly it looks. Some people I've found genuinely love the 90s as far as like a storytelling standpoint and like edginess. And I just think most of that stuff's silly. So there's a lot of that in there, but I didn't expect to like the magic stuff, because there was a book we've read years ago, like maybe last year, called Excellence. And I thought it was going to be really good. It was a magic book, but it was not good. Right. And maybe it was missing stuff. And I feel like this book has enough mixed into the magic element that makes it interesting. And yeah. I'm with you. The art, I don't think the art's bad. It just really feels like a Capullo or even Todd. It feels like Todd.
Yeah.
Like the thick exaggerated lines.
So much cross-hatching.
Yeah, Todd. Lots of shadows. Lots of shadows.
I do love this Daniel Warren Johnson.
He did a lot of covers. He did a lot of covers. They look good.
Yeah, the covers look great.
And maybe that's another reason why.
And Greg Capullo does a cover too.
I'll pick up anything Danny Warren Johnson does.
And it looks the same as the regular artwork. So that's great.
So would I recommend this book to people? Sure. Yeah. I didn't hate it. I would recommend it. As far as like, I read it on Hoopla, the library app. Yeah. So if you have that, definitely worth a library read. You know what I mean? One of your you get 9 borrows a month on Hoopla. This isn't a paid ad.
Maybe we should be like,
yeah, right.
On this free app, I bet they pay people all the time.
Let's grade this thing if I can find it.
I was listening to last week's, and you were like, hold on, I should have had this pulled up.
Oh, dang, I should have edited that up.
I'll go first while you're looking that up, if you don't have it pulled up already. Yeah, just explaining, going through everything we've already explained. I'm honestly, there's always this battle. Is it undercooked or overcooked? Is it undercooked because to me, maybe the story's not there like it needs to be, but I'm going to say it's a little overcooked. I'm going to give it a I3, and it's mainly mm-hmm. because of how far the artwork goes into, like you said, past homage territory, to where it's just like, what is this?
Yeah, straight but, emulation.
But I do, I mean, it's still, I'd still eat that. Say yeah. That's the last piece of bread. I'm not going to throw it away.
I'm with you on that thought process, but I'm going to go, you went I3. That's generous. I'm going to go I6. I would still probably eat that. You know, that's my thing, is I would still probably eat that. I'd crunch it down. Jelly. Yeah.
Maybe scrape the top.
Yeah, I would still probably eat that. There's something there. It's I enjoyed it enough to, like you said, I obviously read the next issue, that I wanted to get some closure to it at least. So like, let me really get the end of this story, not the cliffhanger. And so it's good enough. I'm sure that's what review anybody that writes anything wants to hear.
Yeah, good enough.
What'd you think? It's good enough, man. It works.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a comic book that's a little out of the ordinary, it's not mm-hmm. just straight superhero. You get a lot of the archetypes. And I would say the superheroes are kind of neat because there's not just a speedster. There is a speedster, but it's not just like Construct, speedster, flight, super yeah. strength, you know, it's a little yeah. bit different.
Or if you like the 90s a lot, this book is for you.
Yeah, there you go.
There it
or
is.
Or early 2000s.
Kids love chains. I'm interested to see what they come up with next. I thought that they had multiple books under their imprint, so we'll see if they come up with anything else. But other than that, I think we're circling the drain, man, so where can the peeps find you?
Ugh, well, I'm pretty tall and blonde.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, you'll be able to spot me. You can find me on Instagram. It's where I'm most active. Sime_on_toast. I won another photo contest this week.
Nice.
Well, I got third place, but I'll take it. So it's basically top five. Mm. You get prizes for the top five. So, but anyway, yeah, that's where you find me. Fun stuff.
Go check it out, guys. We're Wednesday Pull everywhere else. Do all the good stuff. Subscribe to the show where you can subscribe, review where you can review, and share it where you can share it. We will see you guys next week.
Bye.